Yes for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, college football fans, and all the Army teams as they seek to beat Navy and win the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. Yes for Football has more exclusive content available on Patreon at Ask for Football. You can also find out more information and sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to another Ask for Lax show. This is Ask for Football. You notice the crew, we all look the same, but we're actually covering lacrosse this time. So I am your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got James calling out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and we've got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. How are we doing, guys?
Never better, man. Like I was saying before the show, it's gorgeous here, and although I hope we get out to ski one more time this season, today was really, really nice just to have all that sun. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got sunny weather and rain coming in the rest of this week. And over to you, James. How are things on your...
Good. 83 degrees this week. Although I think it's been up and down. We've had a high of 42 and a high of 83. So it's been a little bit all over the place.
40 degrees. Yeah. 40 degrees swing in temperature. Not so fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have ever listened to this show, you know that we have a sponsor here, and that is Craig Oxane. Craig is VP of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. He is a class of 1994. He can lend in all 50 states, and he is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He's super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. Friends, understand this. With this whole mortgage process being super confusing, interest rates flopping all over the place, now is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or a mindless website. This is actually how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are helping you get a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge any lender's fees for veterans. That's a huge saving. That's like $1,300. Get that money, friends. As always, Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending. Check him out. The link is on our website. Connect with him, and you'll be talking to him very, very briefly. And, you know, from a testimonial standpoint, everybody that has linked up with Craig and has used him has been more than satisfied with the service that he provides. So I would highly encourage you to jump in and take a look. Anyway, I'll pass it back over to you, Dano. And
yeah, man. So Army men's lacrosse is now 5-0 for the first time since 1993. They took down number 5, 7, or 9 Syracuse, depending on which poll you believe, and Lafayette, both on the road this week. The Syracuse game was an absolute thriller in overtime. We watched that up at Sugarbush. It was awesome. Army got down by as many as 3 goals in the third quarter. And they came back. They actually took the lead late in the fourth quarter, went to overtime. Then overtime was just madness. Went back and forth. Syracuse disrupted Army on the ride, took a 30-yard shot at an open net in overtime and missed. Then Jackson Eicher got over the top and made the winning score in overtime, unassisted on the next possession. And then today, just a couple of hours ago, Army beat Lafayette 16-11. This was the Black Knights' third game in 8 days, their second against the team on extra rest in the past 4 days. I mean, this game was probably closer than you might have expected on paper, but considering that Army probably spent 7 hours on a bus midweek, who knows how much sleep they've gotten? I mean, it was still a commanding win in a tough overall situation. So, yeah, it's been pretty impressive. So, go ahead, James.
Five and six is what they're ranked now. The new polls will come out tomorrow. It's one of those things. Don't be shocked if Army ends up moving backwards in the polls, even if after a Syracuse win, they move back. There has been so much that has happened. Now the top 4 teams in the country to start the season have all lost now, but they're losing to each other in ways. I think Denver is going to end up number 1. Man, after that, it'll be tough. But, Maryland's lost to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's lost. Virginia just lost to Johns Hopkins, who Denver beat. I guess my point is I wouldn't be shocked to see him at 3, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him at 7. So there's a lot of movement up towards the top, and it's kind of a wide open year, which is a good thing for Army, which we'll talk about later. But just because they're moving back doesn't mean isn't necessarily a problem for them.
As Coach Munkin says, you know, the goal is not to be ranked in a poll midseason.
You're right. So, and we'll talk more about the goal here at the end of the pod. But yeah, I don't want people to like be enraged because Army beat a top 10 opponent and then move backwards or something like that.
I will be enraged. You can't stop me from being enraged. Rob, what in the hell is going on with men's basketball? Like, they were rolling and then they stumbled. What have you done to my basketball team?
I have not done anything. And maybe sometimes when people are in a heater, you don't talk about the heater. I mean, it's probably the only thing that I could say. Because, they've stumbled a little bit. And, you know, and you're in March, right? So everybody is just trying to preserve all the gains that they've had so far in the season to this point. And that's across the board. Like, you know, I go to church with a bunch of UNC fans and they're like, we're just trying to hold on till the tournament. You know, and I think that's what everybody needs to do. And unfortunately, Army has slipped a little bit in the past couple of weeks. Doesn't necessarily mean the season is over. However, you know, the more games you lose, particularly the Patriot League, the more difficult it is. And, you know, unless you are the Wichita State University Shockers of about 10 years ago, you are probably the only number 16 team that will ever come back and win against the number one in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they got their work cut out for them. Again, you know, every win that they have this season is just banking forward for next year, so long as they can keep the same kind of attitude and momentum moving forward. It's unfortunate that they dropped a few, but hey, you know, Coach Kuick's doing yeoman's work with the team that he has, and to see them put together, you know, even that stretch that they had, four or five wins in the middle of the season, is still pretty doggone good, regardless of how the season ends. But, you know, we always have higher hopes, and I think everybody has great expectations with a new coach and fielding a new team, regardless of what talent is there or not.
And let's remember, right, this is first year new head coach. He didn't return a single player that scored double digits a game. You know, a very young team. And you know what? He did something that hasn't been done in a while for Army men's basketball, and he got the star. So it's a great start, and, you know, we'll see how it works on the tournament. They're going to host they're the number 8 seed. They'll host number 9 Holy Cross at 6 p.m. Up at West Point on Tuesday. So we're recording this Sunday night, comes out Monday. So Tuesday, maybe it'll come out Monday, but Tuesday night it'll be the first round of the Patriot League tournament.
This is probably going to drop Tuesday morning.
Okay, so gotcha.
Patrons, like this evening.
So okay, gotcha. Sweet.
So. Little inside baseball there, and I see women's basketball is 12-15, 9-8 in the Patriot League with one game to go, and apparently they can finish as high as 4th and as low as 8th. I have watched zero. Ray says it's good to be a Patreon. That's true. Thank you, Ray. We actually couldn't do this without you, Ray. I don't know if you guys have watched any women's basketball. I have gotten totally sucked into skiing / lacrosse, and this is where 100% of my energy has gone.
Yeah. Now they're sort of in a weird spot. A win puts them with a chance to get a number 4 seed. That number 4 seed will get them not only a bye to the in the first round, but a home quarterfinal game. The A seed would be no bye, although they would host a first round game. So, and then be on the road in the quarterfinals. So good luck to the ladies.
And then Army baseball is off to a 5-5 start. They beat the holy hell out of Air Force 13-2 via the mercy rule in 7 innings. It's got to be the first time that's happened in a Service Academy game recently. Home opener against the University of Albany on March 13th. Patriot League play starts mid-March. Look out for some Ask for Baseball content coming. Like, we are working on that, and it's kind of a heavy lift, so we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and I will comment. I actually tossed in, you know, just real quick, I was talking to some folks at church this morning, and I was like, hey, look, you know what? If you haven't seen it, go see an Army baseball game. Again, I can't talk the team up as much. You know, on their way to a 6th Patriot League championship, fingers crossed if they keep playing consistently like they do in the Patriot League. And, you know, Army baseball is kind of the hidden gem. I don't think a lot of people pay attention to it because it's a spring sport and it's kind of in that weird time of the year right after the gloom period and everybody's worried about, you know, tees and what they're doing for summer training. But definitely something that is well worth the time and investment if you choose to give a little time to the baseball team.
Well, and college baseball is so much more interesting than pro baseball. You know, pro baseball, it's all launch angle and can I hit it out of the park and blah, blah, blah. College baseball, they actually do the baseball thing. Like they hit the ball, they run, they make plays. It looks like what you in your mind growing up think baseball is supposed to look like. So I personally find it much more entertaining. Army football news, I will transition. Spring football is underway. I'm not totally sure what all they've done, but the spring game is scheduled for Friday, April 12th, and we got the schedule. James, you want to tell us about the schedule?
Yeah, I'll just run you guys through it. We'll have plenty of content later on the schedule and individual mashups, so we won't get too into it, but I'll just run you down. So first game of the season is going to be against Lehigh at home. That's a Friday night game on August 30th. The next week, they'll travel to Boca Raton, take on FAU in the first ever American game for Army. Conference game, that is. Then they'll have a bye. A week later, they'll have their home opener against Rice on the 21st of September. They'll have a Thursday night game that week at Temple on the 26th of September. A week later, on a long week because of the Thursday game the week before, they'll play at Tulsa on October 5th. The following week, they'll start a home stretch of University of Alabama at Birmingham on October 12th, then Eastern Carolina on October 19th, then a bye week. Then we'll have Air Force on November 2nd, North Texas on the road in Denton on November 9th. Army fans will remember going there recently. Another bye week followed by Army Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. Then Texas San Antonio at home the next week on November 30th. Ray says going to be rough having a November 30th game without the core. That is Thanksgiving weekend, so we'll see if they do senior. It'd either be senior day then, or the previous game would be Air Force on November 2nd, which would
there's
be
no way
senior day.
Move senior day.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. And then Army Navy is down at whatever they're going to call FedEx Field come this fall in Landover, Maryland, on the second Saturday of December, December 14th. So initial thoughts on the schedule, Dan?
Yeah, well, okay, so I am primarily bummed that the FAU game got scheduled so early because my wife really, really wants to go down for it because she loves Miami and is, like, ready to move to Miami tomorrow. So we're probably still going to go, but now it's just going to be hot as all hell, and that sucks. And then other than that, I think they did very well with the bye weeks. You got one before Air Force. You got another one before Notre Dame. And, of course, you got one before Army-Navy. Personally, I like the one bye week before Army-Navy instead of the two. I think that two bye week thing is kind of, you know, extreme. And I'm probably – this is a little off topic, but I'm probably most excited that Coach Munkin just managed to hold his staff mostly together during the offseason and that they're moving again, you know, mostly under center. I mean, I think we can all collectively wish Coach Thatcher well as he departs to continue developing his system. You know, fascinating design at heart. We've certainly talked about it a lot here. I think that there's a lot going on. I just, you know, it wasn't meant to be for whatever reason. And we can argue about that probably offline over some beers. But I also think it's pretty clear that Coach Cody Worley is ready to be an offensive coordinator. And I am exceptionally glad that he's going to be an offensive coordinator at Army and not somewhere else. You know, we've seen him call games twice. Both times he's been outstanding. So he's earned this opportunity. And I fully expect that he's going to smash it. And it's hard not to be optimistic this season. I mean, I really think that they have it set up pretty nicely.
Hey, Rob, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll pile in real quick on what Dano just mentioned. It's like, I think the whole thing with Coach Thatcher, like maybe it was just his point this season was just to get the change in mentality. You know what I mean? Just that slight shift, whatever he bought kind of changed the flavor of the offense a little bit. And I think the coaching staff got a lot more confident in running plays under center with like zone blocking scheme. And we're not going to dive too deep into the blocking scheme, but I think that's really what the change was, is it kind of shifted the mentality just enough to make the offense successful in out of both formations. I mean, it just depends. Cause like, look at what happened to Coastal Carolina when they came out under center, and then we were still able to have success running the ball out of the gun option against Navy. So I think, you know, that slight change in mentality Unfortunate that Coach Thatcher is moving on to bigger and better things, but in order to perfect his offense, he probably needs to do it somewhere else. But I think that small shift in mentality was good. I'm still disappointed, you know, with as many American teams that are in North Carolina. Like, I can't get a game in North Carolina this year, but, you know, I'm still holding out for hope. So maybe that means I'll get a 1 or 3 game stretch of Army games in North Carolina sometime in the next 5 years, which would be pretty cool. But I think the schedule looks good. I think it's very, very positive for the Army team. I think, you know, my call, and I'll say it here first, and you guys can slay me later after the season's over. I'm saying 8-4, CIC, no American championship this year, but the following year I think it's going to happen. That's kind of where I'm at with the schedule and kind of the way things are going. But looking forward to seeing next season. I think there's a lot of potential going forward with the new schedule and everything else.
Yeah, and I'll put a bow on the whole shotgun option thing. I don't expect it to go away. Coach Muckin said as much in his presser at the beginning of spring practice, spring ball. So I expect it to be a base flex bone with a lot of, you know, expansion to the shotgun, like we saw maybe 2018 timeframe, try to give some more looks, but definitely a base of the wishbone. When it comes to the schedule, so a few things. The American does an exceptional job of spreading out where you're playing and trying to get you sort of an even playing realm around the league. So they want to make sure that their northern teams get to Texas and get to Florida as much as possible for recruiting purposes, right? They're very intentional about that. So you'll see Army's got one game in Texas, but they're playing three Texas teams this year. I'd expect every year to be playing a game in Texas. I'd expect 2 out of every 3 years to be playing a game in Florida. I'd be expecting 2 out of every 3 years to be playing a game in North Carolina. Maybe not more than one a year, but they like to spread that love because it's an important part of conference membership, the valuable part of conference membership, that their schools get to go to different places in order to, spread their footprint and recruit there. And then the last thing I'll say, you know, it kind of stinks, the whole Thanksgiving home game. It'll be weird to see that. But one thing that Army did have, or really the things that Army could have gotten screwed with, is having a double bye at some point earlier in the season. They didn't suffer that because this year has an extra bye for college football. So Army has 3 byes this year. Normally they have 2 and the rest of college football is 1, but this year it's 3-2. So they could have gotten a double bye. They didn't have that. And they do have a bye before Notre Dame and a bye before Air Force. Navy has neither of those things. So that's something helpful for Army when it comes to their week-to-week schedule this year. But we'll get more into that later. We want to move on to our commercial, Rob.
Yeah, so like Ray said, it's good to be a Patreon, right? So if you like Ask for Football and you want to support coverage of the Army sports and the American Conference in football, we could use your help on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/askforfootball to learn more. There are some links to our website. There are links to it on our website. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and mocks. That's where, you know, Dan and myself try to make fools of ourselves and show how well we pick against Vegas. At the Cal level, you get that plus the scouting report. And at the Firstie level, you get access to the Firstie Club, which is our private Facebook group for our top level patrons. It's the best place to talk about Army sports in general or college athletics, just because, you know, it's a pretty positive group. We're all super fans and we really try hard to keep it positive. And it's a private group. Nobody's going to leak your information or anything that is discussed anywhere else on the interwebs. Firsties also get access to live show recordings like this one. So we publish every time we're going to go live and have the opportunity to interact and answer questions or get feedback from the crowd as we're going through the show. And to be honest, we've spent a lot of money this past year to increase the overall performance and quality of the shows here at Ask for Football. We're now using StreamYard, which is the service that we're on right now. We actually use Podcastle AI to improve sound quality. And we even got regular recording time so people know. We put them out ahead of time, and it gives people the opportunity to join us while we're recording live. And I will tell you, like I said, and I mentioned this before, and if you didn't catch last week's shows, I've been going back and like remastering some of my old podcasts, one of the other ones that I've done where the audio was horrible, and I am ashamed at how much better the AI does the editing than I do. But I appreciate the support from using Podcastle AI. So it's a great tool, and it is not cheap, folks. So if you really want to help us out, please sign up for Patreon. But without further ado, we're going to dive into the NCAA lacrosse tourney discussion. And James, over to you.
Yeah. Before you start, James, yeah. I feel like this is, you know, three witches around a cauldron throwing chicken bones to figure out who gets in. Oh, that's just where I am.
Yeah. So I'll keep it fast, but basic. So NCAA tournaments have two types of bids, two types of teams get to go. You have automatic qualifiers, you have at-large bids. So you win your conference, you win an eligible conference, you get an automatic bid, you win, you're the best of the rest, then you get an at-large bid, and there's a committee for each sport that determines the best of the rest. Usually full of athletic directors and presidents or whatever. Very similar to the College Football Playoff Committee, except that it's the NCAA who conducts the committee, not a TV contract. 17 teams go to the tournament. Next year, it'll be back up to 18 with the Northeast Conference sponsoring lacrosse again. But this year, it's 17 teams, 9 automatic qualifiers, 8 at-large bids. So it's very easy. If Army wins the Patriot League, they're going, right? The Patriot League is an eligible conference. Every college across conference is eligible except for the ACC. So if you win your conference, you go. If they win the Patriot League, no big deal. They'll go to the tournament, and they should be fine. And they have a really good team this year, so they have a good chance to move to their quarterfinals and beyond. The at-large bids are decided by a committee, and there's a whole a list of selection criteria. So whether your, you know, players are hurt or, you know, goes into it, win loss record, strength of schedule, RPI, which is the computer rankings, record against ranked teams in brackets, down the RPI, average RPI wins and losses, head to head, common opponents, significant wins and losses, and then the locations of the contests. So they look at all these things, and they also have regional advisory committees, and they determine, okay, here are the automatic qualifiers, and of the rest of the teams in college across, here are the best 8, and then we put them in. There's typically bias towards the sort of historically stronger conferences. I'm talking the ACC, the Big Ten, a little bit of the Big East, but you know the Patriot League has historically kind of been right on that line. They don't generally get a lot of two-bid years where they get both their automatic qualifier and another team in, but it has happened before, and Army this year is primed to be an at-large, in consideration for an at-large bid, if they don't win the Patriot League tournament. So begs the question, what do they need to do? If you followed me on Twitter last year, I was on this subject for like the last month of the season. I'll probably do the same this year. I made a lot of friends who are lacrosse bracketologists, and basically the consensus is for this year is that if Army loses the Patriot League championship game, that'll be one loss. If that's their only loss, not only are they an at-large consideration, they're probably a ranked at-large consideration. If they lose one game and then the Patriot League tournament finals, then they'll be, they might not be ranked, but they're a pretty solid at-large bid. There's a chance they get left out if there's a lot of like bid stealers or weirdness at the bubble, or it's a super weird year. But a two-loss Army is a pretty safe at-large bid. Now, if they lose two regular season games and the Patriot League tournament finals, they'd be 3 losses, and at that point, they're an outside looking in. So they'd need the weirdness at the bubble in order to get that bid. With the remaining schedule, the only game where they might not be favored is North Carolina. They should be favored in all their Patriot League contests. Still, it's very low percentage chance that they go undefeated the rest of the way, just because there are so many games. But that's sort of what we're looking at. They can drop one and lose the tournament and still be in. But after that, it'll be a tight spot for Army to make the tournament without winning the Patriot League.
Yeah, so this is kind of what's weird about being ranked fifth, is at this point, any loss that this team takes is like a bad loss, you know, like quote-unquote a bad loss. Even that game at North Carolina, which they put on, I'm sure when they put it on the schedule, it was like a reach game, but now Army's looking at being ranked as much as 10 spots ahead of North Carolina, which, great, but also, like, pressure. You know, now they have to perform. Ironically, it seems like their margin of error is, I don't want to say it's smaller. I mean, they've certainly set themselves up in good position, but they can't afford to stumble. Like, they really have to play consistent lacrosse, and consistency is the hardest damn thing in sports, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, anybody can have a great day, have a great season. That's really challenging.
So the other sort of weird thing is that Army right now has the highest RPI that they'll have for the rest of the year, right? They're the number one team in the country in RPI, right? Playing a slate of Patriot League opponents is going to hurt them. If they win out, they win every game that they have left, and you only consider those games, it will drop them to fifth in RPI, all right? The highest ranked RPI team to get left out ever was seventh, and that was Duke in 2022, I believe. Wow. And they had three horrible losses that year. They didn't deserve to go. And they had an RPI because they beat a couple of good teams, but not enough to excuse three awful losses. I believe one of them was Jacksonville. It was not a pretty year. They shouldn't have gone, right? However, if Army loses a game to North Carolina and loses the Patriot League championship game, the furthest that they can drop is ninth. It'll be really hard for the committee to leave out a number nine RPI Army if they've already beaten a ranked team in Syracuse, beaten a ranked team in Rutgers, and they have a really high RPI. And their only losses would at that point be one to the presumable, you know, Patriot League champion and NCAA tournament, you know, automatic qualifier, and to an ACC, you know, the ACC North Carolina. So at that point, it's pretty hard to leave out Army at number nine RPI. And Army hasn't been in this spot before. We're going into Patriot League play, the bulk of Patriot League play. They are the number one team in the country in the metric that the committee uses to slot teams. That hasn't been the case before. So they're in a unique position this year.
But today's game was a perfect example of, like, why it's so hard, right? I mean, you're playing Lafayette. Lafayette has never beaten Army. Nobody thought that they were going to beat Army today. But it's a road game. You're on short rest. Lafayette doesn't suck by any means. I mean, they're a good team. And, you know, for whatever reason, the Leopards figured something out in the faceoff X, you know, the faceoff circle there and around the halftime into the third quarter. And God damn, that was a tight game. Like, that was very competitive until like the last 5 minutes. So,
well, the good thing is, right, there's no more short rest. Army's playing one game a week for the rest of the season. Yeah. I believe they're all Saturdays. So there's nothing. They're all, it's just evenly spread throughout the rest of the season. Where they do have to be careful, right, is these games like Lafayette, where Lafayette kind of figured out Will Coletti by the end of the game. And they had a goalie who was playing lights out. Like,
yeah.
Army would have scored 24 goals in this game if their goalie wasn't playing at the level he was at. Very similar to UMass earlier in the year. And when you run into those situations where a goalie's playing lights out and you're closer to 50-50 on that faceoff game, oh man, that's hard. Now you add a rivalry game of Navy into it. Or maybe they're just a really good team this year, like Colgate or Loyola, who's, you know, got a really stingy defense, man. That's where you have to start to get worried. But luckily, the short weeks are over. It's one game a week for the rest of the year, so they get a full 5 to 6 days to prepare for every game. So,
yeah, like I said, I love lacrosse. It's my second favorite spectator sport behind football. It's a fascinating game, and there's so much going on. Like, you know, when I was watching the Syracuse game, I thought Syracuse did an outstanding job of getting, like, superior athletes to win one-on-one matchups early in the game. And then later in the game, Army figured that out, and it wasn't happening. But I couldn't tell you why. I don't know what they changed. It's just, you know, the team defense, quote-unquote, sort of came together. And
Army's sort of weird this year too. Usually Army is like this really good defensive team, like top five defensive unit in the nation, and they score enough goals to get by, right?
Yep.
This year, Army's got like what Navy usually has, which is like this amazing offense. They're just absolute snipers. They got Jacob Morin from the other side of the field, where he just, I mean, really good offense. And their defense is doing enough, right? And they figured it out against Syracuse, and they figured it out against UMass, and they figured it out in the fourth quarter today against Lafayette. And obviously they were more tired today, like we talked about. But Army's offense is looking like the best I've ever seen it.
I mean, there's only one AJ Pilot, right? They put AJ Pilot on that kid from Syracuse.
Spolina, yeah.
Yeah, and just erased him. Like, he did nothing mm-hmm. the whole game. But, okay, so you're going to take our best player off the field. We're going to take your best player off the field. And now everybody else is playing this game. And
it took some spectacular goals for Syracuse to score. Like Syracuse was scoring on, like, highlight reel plays, and that was 70% of their scoring. It wasn't like they were working their offense and it worked out.
It was one-on-one. They were winning one-on-one matches. Right. Like, a guy would beat his man, you know, do mm-hmm. a swim move or whatever, beat his man, get loose to the cage, and that's how they were scoring.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, it was maddening. And I, like I said, I don't know what they changed to stop that, but it was something, because you didn't see that in the second half. So
yeah, it's also sort of back to the whole point about the sport in general. It's an interesting sport in that, you know, Syracuse has all these transfers this year, and everyone expected them to be really good because of their transfers. And yeah, like a transfer faceoff specialist or a transfer goalie that's really good can help you out a lot. But there's a lot of value in lacrosse to having a unit that's played together for a few years, more so than in baseball, right? And in basketball, because it takes a long time to just learn each other's game and mesh like that. And I think Syracuse is suffering because they don't have that. They have sort of this pieced together offense with a lot of skill, but not much time playing together.
I will say this is one of the first times I can remember Army lacrosse having like All-American level stars. You know, you've got Pilot, you got Evan Plunkett, you've got Morin, like other guys I could probably name, and these are just dudes.
Will Coletti.
Yeah. Like, you know, Matt Chess has been pretty good. I don't know that he's quite at that next level that some of those other guys are, but it's like, you know, some of these guys, you put them on anybody and that they're still arguably the best dude on the field. And that's crazy. Like, that's not the kind of thing you see at West Point very often. So
yeah,
that's very cool.
And we called it the Alberisi adjustment last year, but his ability to like make an adjustment, and it's not just at halftime, like he'll call a timeout in the, you know, the early second quarter because he sees something, and all of a sudden the other team doesn't score for 8 minutes. That happened against Syracuse. He called the timeout at one point, and I think it was like 12 minutes between Syracuse goals. Like,
I mean, it happened against Rutgers. Rutgers was mm-hmm. they were going one for one until the middle of the first quarter, and whatever he changed, that was it.
That's such a smart coach.
Saw that game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we are getting towards the end of this, and so we have one last thing that we got to plug. So if you like Army football, who doesn't? Who everybody should. If you like Army lacrosse and baseball, who doesn't? You should. Anyway, who has social media and hates it? I think we all do. I think it's a necessary evil of part of covering any type of sports or athletics. You have to have social media, and unfortunately, most of it is not all that great because there's people that are trolling you and trying to incite riots every time they at you on one of the social media platforms. Instead, you can always go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send you one email per week with all of the week's content, and that's all you have to do. It's too easy. You'll get all the articles that have been written and links to all the podcasts that have come out, and it gives you everything that you need to know about Army sports. So keep up with Ask for Football and Army sports by going to the website, signing up for our mailing list. Again, you get one email per week. So who has a favorite thing this week to wrap the show?
Yeah, so mine, just to kind of reiterate something that we've danced around a little bit here. So Army football spring game is scheduled for Friday, May 12th. And that's, you know, your first chance to sort of get a look at the Cody Worley triple option, such as it is. you know, the new hotness. And I think that's scheduled for 6 p.m., but I'm not totally sure. And then you've got Army-Navy lacrosse on that Saturday, May 13th, starting at 1 p.m. So, you know, bottom line is if you have a spring reunion or you're just looking for a weekend that you want to go up to West Point and catch some games because, you know, it's beautiful outside and you're stuck, tired of being stuck in your basement, like the 12th to the 13th, that's the time. And I think that's awesome. And despite the fact that I love skiing, I'm now totally looking forward to the summer and fall and football and all that stuff. So that's it. That's my favorite thing.
All right. Thanks, Dano. Yeah. And if you guys haven't stayed in the Thayer, here's your chance. Book it now because it books up quickly. So if you're trying to get to the Thayer and enjoy the spring game, you probably need to get those tickets early because like that place closes up fast. I don't think I've ever been able to get a reservation there with thinking well in advance. So you're about 6 weeks out, so you better jump on it early. Anyway, I'm your host, Rob, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Ikebasa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and James from Brigade Review calling out Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And this has been the As for Football, As for Lax show, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the As for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the As for Football team brings you more Army football and American Conference analysis. We would like to thank our Patreons, particularly the Diversity Club, for supporting the show. If you're interested in joining the Diversity Club, go to patreon.com and search for As for Football. You can access more content on our website by signing up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.